19. Harry pulled the envelope from her pocket and unfolded it. She reread it, tore off the bottom half, and folded it into thirds. The rest of it went in the small lamp on the center of their table. It flared up and drew a few eyes as it turned to Ash.
Not leaving tracks?
You're learning, Mr. Teague.
She stood up and moved to stand before the other man.
Mr. Rusk.
He looked up from the fire.
Yes?
Gregson Edgar Rust?
I am,
said the man. His eyes flitted up and down her body, taking in her figure and the clothes hiding it. He glanced over at Eli.
Who might you be, young lady?
I'm Harriet. You can call me Harry.
He grinned and showed off a jagged front tooth. It was a triangle of gray in a row of tan-brown teeth. Eli tried not to think about what a break like that would have felt like.
You seem to have me at a disadvantage, ma'am,
said the prospector. She lowered herself into the chair across from him, creating a triangle between herself, Rusk, and Eli.
A friend told me I might find you here. You're from the South, yes?
Louisiana, ma'am, he said with a nod.
A Southern gentleman, she said. Excellent. I was hoping you might be able to spare a few minutes of your time to help me with something.
The prospector glanced over at Eli again.
It's early, he said, but I'm willing if the price is right.
She laughed and granted him what seemed to Eli like a very fake smile.
No, not that,
she said. He gestured at the bottle.
Want to help me finish this off?
It won't change my mind.
Too bad,
said Rusk. He tapped the book in his lap.
Don't suppose you can read?
I can.
His eyes darted to Eli again.
You could spend the day reading this storybook to me, then.
She shook her head.
It's the best offer so far,
she said,
but still not what I'm here for.
He huffed out a sigh.
My brother and I wanted to talk about your inspiration,
she said.
We were wondering what led a Southern man like yourself to drop everything and head west.
Maybe you haven't noticed, said Rusk with a smirk, but lots of folks are heading west.
Not really,
said Harry.
There must be 500,000 people just here in Missouri. Most of them aren't going anywhere. Most people in the country aren't.
She smiled again, a better smile.
But you did, Mr. Rusk. You left behind friends, your job, everything you know. Why?
He studied her for a moment, this time just her face. Then his gaze shifted to Eli. Rusk stood up. The man stood an inch or two shorter than Harry.
If you'll pardon my saying, I don't like the path this question leads down.
She spread her fingers wide but stopped short of raising her hands.
I don't mean to make you uncomfortable,
she said.
I'm just curious.
These ain't curious questions, said the prospector.
He brushed back the ragged edge of his coat to reveal a tube of scratched leather on his thigh. His hand settled near it. Eli took a moment to recognize the tube. He'd seen too many custom-shaped holsters of nylon and plastic in movies and on television. The simplicity of Rusk's caught him off guard. Eli leaned forward, but Harry pinned him in his seat with a glance. Her gaze went back to Rusk.
There's no need for guns.
Ma'am, every time somebody tells me that, it means I'm going to need my guns.
Well then, this time will be a pleasant exception.
He shook his head.
Thank you, but no.
We have no interest in your claim, Mr. Rusk,
she said.
None at all. I just want to know what made you travel to California.
And I believe I've been clear, I don't want to talk about it.
If that's the case,
said Harry,
I do have one other thing you still might be looking for. Favor for a favor.
Ma'am, said the prospector, I've told you all the things I'm looking for. You ain't offering none of them.
He stood up and headed for the bar.
You haven't told me about your sister,
Harry said as he moved past her. Rusk took another three steps, giving Eli a cautious look as they came close. Then Harry's words registered and he spun around. His hand came away from the holster.
What did you say?
Louisa is your sister, isn't she?
The prospector leaned in close.
My sister's dead. The Redskins got her.
Harry's head went side to side. Her eyes never left his.
Would you like to talk now, Mr. Rusk?
His eyes flitted between her and Eli. For a moment, Eli thought the man would turn and walk away. or reach for his gun again.
Gregson?
Asked the bartender. He had the wary tone of a man used to leaping in and ready to do so if needed.
There a problem?
Eli glanced around the bar. More than a few of the patrons watched. The two men playing cards looked eager. So did the woman by the stairs. Rusk's eyes settled on Harry. She leaned back in her chair. With one hand, she pulled the bottom half of the paper from her pocket and tapped her fingers against it.
No problem, Ray, said the prospector.
In the corner of Eli's eye, the bartender nodded and relaxed. The woman by the stairs sighed and returned her attention to the man with her. The dark-haired man playing cards dropped his hand to the table and chuckled.
I'm very sorry, my friend, that I must resort to blackmail, Mr. Rusk,
Harry told him.
Please believe me when I say I want you and your sister to be reunited as soon as possible.
She held up the folded piece of paper.
This was intended to be a sincere thank you for helping me with my own quest.
Rusk glanced at Eli.
Thought he was your brother.
He's like a brother to me,
said Harry.
We've known each other for so long. Honestly, if a horse's kick hadn't left him unable to perform a husband's duties, I would have married him years ago.
The prospector looked at Eli again, this time with pity in his eyes. Eli bit his tongue.
But enough about my problems, Mr. Rusk.
She held the paper out past her knees, then pulled it back when the prospector reached for it.
I propose a simple trade. My information for yours. A favor for a favor.
How do I know it's the truth? This could all be some swindle.
She unfolded the paper, leaving the blank side to the prospector. From where he sat, Eli could see four handwritten lines.
Your sister has brown hair and brown eyes. She had freckles when she was younger. There's a scar on her left hand and another one behind her right ear, but she wears her hair loose to hide that one.
Rusk's eyes opened wide. Tears swelled at the corners.
I'll tell you where the mine is, he said with a quick nod. I've got a map to the claim and the papers. It's all yours.
As I told you before, we have no interest in your claim.
Rusk blinked away the tears before they could blur his vision. His eyes darted from Harry to the paper.
What do you want, then?
Why did you go to California?
For the gold. That's what everyone's heading out there for. We've all heard the stories.
She shook her head.
But why, Mr. Rusk? What set you on your path? What made the decision for you?
I don't understand.
He leaned close to her, to the paper.
What do you want me to say?
Why did you go? What was the final straw for you, the deciding moment? Was it something you heard or read or saw? Did the thought just come to you, perhaps?
He shrugged.
I don't know. I was in New Orleans doing odd jobs for a machinist. I'd been hearing some stories about gold, about how people was just plucking nuggets right up off the ground. And then I ended up talking to this one fella who came in about some parts for equipment he needed fixed. Talked with him for almost 2 hours. He'd come back from California rich as Midas. Was living the dream, you know?
Harry's fingers trembled.
And it was him?
Rusk shrugged again.
Suppose so. Never really thought of it like that, but yeah, it was that night I decided to go.
He tapped the bottle.
I was sipping a bourbon, thinking about what he'd said, and decided to head out to California and make my fortune. And I did. That's all it was.
He reached for the paper. Harry lifted it away. His face hardened.
The man,
she said.
The man you spoke to in the blacksmith's shop. What was his name?
The prospector's jaw shifted. It clicked each time it moved. Eli pictured the jagged point of the broken tooth tapping back and forth against the lower teeth and tried not to wince.
Hawkins,
said Rusk.
Frank Hawkins. He'd done the trail when he was younger. One of the first ones out there back in 48 and struck it rich. He was heading back for another go when I met him, but this time he was taking a boat down to Panama and crossing there.
Harry glanced back at Eli to make sure he was paying attention.
If I was to see Mr. Hawkins, she said, how would I know him?
Rusk's head went side to side.
It was almost 3 years ago, ma'am. I don't remember much of anything.
What do you remember? Anything will help.
Rusk stood up and held his hand above his head. He looked at Eli and raised it a little higher.
He was about yay tall, strong, shaved good. Nice fella, but he had this way of kind of staring at people. Had a strong gaze.
The prospector snapped his fingers.
Had this big buffalo hide cloak. I asked about it because it was warm out, and he said it was a remembrance from his first trip. Said he'd never get rid of it.
Harry nodded.
When was this?
I told you, 3 years ago.
Could you be more specific? The month? The day, perhaps?
He shook his head.
It was March, I think.
He snapped his fingers.
It was 2 weeks before Easter. End of March. 50?
Harry nodded.
That will do, she said. Is there anything else you can tell us?
He shook his head.
Nothing, I swear.
She smiled.
Thank you, Mr. Rusk.
She held out the folded piece of paper. He stared at it for a moment, at her, at Eli. Then he snatched it away. Harry waited while Rusk sat down, unfolded the paper, and squinted at the words. Eli watched the man's lips move while his eyes worked back and forth through the handwritten lines. Almost 2 minutes passed before he looked up.
This all true?
Harry nodded.
Edmund's had her all this time?
She nodded again.
Why?
I'm afraid I don't know anything beyond what's written there, Mr. Rusk. I can just promise you it's all true. She's with Edmunds in Memphis.
He frowned and crumpled the paper in his fist. Then he looked down at it and spread it flat over his knee. He worked at the wrinkles and creases with his fingers.
Thank you,
he said. Harry nodded and stepped back to join Eli at their table.
What was that all about?
He asked.
Which part? His sister in Memphis with Edwards? Edmunds. And I have no idea. As I told Mr. Rusk, I don't know much past what was on the paper.
The bartender barked out, "Coffee!" and set a tin mug down on the bar next to a glass with an inch of amber liquid in it. Harry guided Eli to the bar where she fished a small coin purse from her coat and slid 2 coins across to the bald man. Eli went to move back to their table, but she held his arm.
Keep some distance,
she said.
We don't want him starting more of a conversation. It leads to questions we can't answer.
Eli nodded and sniffed at the bourbon.
So now what?
Now,
she said,
we need to find Mr. Frank Hawkins in New Orleans.
He could be anywhere by now,
said Eli.
Maybe even dead.
He was just passing through on the way to California, remember? I remember, Mr. Teague, she said. That's why we'll be going.
She lifted her head higher and looked to the door. Then she swung her gaze to the bar. Eli looked at the rack of bottles, then tried to figure out if she'd seen something in the mirror. What?
Shh,
she hissed at him, half closing her eyes. He shut his mouth. The murmur of conversation still swung back and forth across the saloon. The bartender rustled the coals in the pot-bellied stove. Outside, the wind moaned on the corners of the building, never quite reaching a howl. When it fell to its lowest, he could hear the distant sounds of a main road. Or maybe a highway.
Wait a minute,
he began. Harry's eyes snapped open. Her hands came up and pushed him toward the door. He turned his head, trying to catch the sound again.
Is that a car? Here?
It's them,
she said, giving him another shove.
They found us.